Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
KXRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX93.5.
All right, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show, and I am your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And before we get started, just a little community information on a super sunny Sunday morning. Let's see, we have concerts in the park. It is a Tom Petty band, so there's that. And so if you're going to do that, you probably should start thinking about your picnic setup and all of those things. There's someone updating their reminders as we speak. Okay, so this is KX93.5. This is member-supported FM radio. We play generational alt-rock, but this show is the Importance of Being show, where we have live, unscripted conversations with people making a difference. Okay, that's that. We'll be right back after a couple songs to get the show started. This is KX93.5. All right, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I am happy to have in studio as my guest, Tex Haynes of Victoria Skimboard. Hi, Tex.
Hi, Ernest. Good to be here.
Uh-oh. Wait a second. One, two.
Try that again.
Hit that mic again. Or no, I mean talk.
Okay. Are we here?
No. Let's try that one.
Can I pull a plug out?
That's better.
Okay. We are good to go.
I'm just not good at counting, apparently. Oh, there is mic three over there.
Now
right. That's much better. Okay. So you run Victoria Skimboards.
I do.
Did you start it?
I started it with a partner, Peter Prieto.
And what made you do that?
I was driving into oncoming traffic too often. I'm sorry, Sparky. I got to tell this story. But the contact cement at Rainbow Sandals was a little strong. And we realized that I'd almost had a head on a few times.
And
we talked about just starting up making skimboards just because we were kids and we talked about it since we were much younger.
Right. You're always
and
talking about something.
And it seemed like, hey, and Sparky was really cool about it. You guys can work part-time if you want. So we went out, got some sheets of plywood and some fiberglass and began glassing them in Peter's apartment on his carpeted floor in the upstairs.
So let's go back a little bit. Did you grow up here in Laguna Beach?
I'm an Altadena boy. Grew up in Altadena, right above Pasadena against the foothills.
Right, yep.
My name comes from being born in Texas. We stepped out of the state for just a little while. We'd come down here on weekends.
It's kind of a Texas anchor baby.
Yeah, I'm an anchor baby. So we'd like to surf. We'd go to San Onofre, and Laguna turned out to be a good place to spend the nights on Saturday so you could go back to surfing on Sunday. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess San Onofre is pretty desolate.
Early. It's a long ways away from Pasadena for a one-day drive.
Okay. So. And so then you gravitated down here for surfing. And then what got you down here, you know, because you can drive down, camp out.
Yeah, it was sharing a little house on the stairs of Victoria Beach with three other families from Pasadena every third weekend.
Oh, wow.
Come down.
You have like a timeshare rotation.
Yeah,
a
timeshare deal. And it was literally a few hundred dollars for a month of rent in this place. So between three families, it was
really
cheap.
Should have held on to that place.
Yeah. The people walking down the stairs at night would rake their hand along the side of the building and wake you up, but it was fun.
And so then that got you kind of situated down here.
Exactly.
Then how did you end up at Rainbow?
Got out of college. I'd hoped to be a veterinarian, and it didn't work out.
Huh.
Ended up considering dental school for a very brief period. I found out the suicide rate was kind of high, and I thought, that's not a good profession either.
Right, I don't even want to look over there.
So, yeah,
I'm not that kind of guy.
I learned I didn't want to do construction by doing that for a while. carrying stuff mostly up and down these
right,
hills.
Heavy things,
or
right.
Or digging in Laguna soil, which is about 75% rock.
And then some clay thrown in there.
Yeah. And that led to a friend asking me if I wanted to work at Rainbow Sandals. And I said, yes, heck yes, I could use a job that's less intense than what I'm doing. So, yeah.
And so I didn't realize that they had been around so long, but okay.
Yeah, they had a factory downtown, I think right by the Sawdust Festival or the Art Festival.
Oh, my gosh. Period. Okay. All right. So they actually started out here and then moved down to San Clemente.
I believe so.
Okay. Well, fair. We'll go with that.
We'll go with that.
And then skimboarding, was that something that was already going on?
Exactly. A lot of people ask me that, and it had been going on since the 20s and 30s in a big way.
I was prepared to talk about you founding the art and sport of skimboarding.
Yeah, I love disclaiming that I'm that smart.
Here is the first skimboard ever.
Exactly. Hawaiians get all the credit, and who knows before them who skipped rocks across the water. Because they had pipos and surfboards of all lengths. I even have a picture of my mom in 1928 in Hawaii as a little girl, 10-year-old girl, sliding around on a skimboard over there.
Oh, okay.
So 2,000 years at least, maybe 12,
okay.
Hawaiians have been out there sliding on water.
Right, just finding some way to get something going
with the water. Grass sleds that they'd go down mountainsides.
Oh, my gosh.
All kinds of gnarly stuff. They were as well as surfing and everything else, yeah.
I guess that's also the genesis of the downhill skateboard.
It probably was, and the courses were lined with rocks. It was just lava,
right,
and grass.
Yeah, and they're like, maybe we should use hay bales instead.
So anyway, it was kind of a slow period in the sport. It had turned into round boards and flat beaches during the 30s and 40s. And in the 50s and 60s, the locals here adapted them by stretching them out a little bit, making them a little more watermelon shape. Now you have rails, parallel edges, that you can carve turns on in the water.
Okay.
A round board just wouldn't do that.
Right, right.
And they were doing little skateboard turns off all the shore break. And Laguna is very unique, topography-wise, excuse me. It's the one small area of Southern California that has a steep shoreline.
Oh, and so that is a skimboarding thing.
Yeah, we have less surf, too, because we're this one little spot of the coastline that's shadowed by Catalina.
Oh,
so,
right.
So, third huge factor is wealth. There's a lot of wealthy people around here that help foster the sport and keep it going. And
okay.
So you have a lot of wonderful elements combining.
So you took off time from work to start making skimboards, but that was probably just for fun, right? Or did you know you wanted to start a business at that point? You're like, I'm going to corner the market and...
Not that grand. Really simple. We knew it was fun.
Oh.
We knew it was fun.
We knew. We had empirical evidence.
And that was enough to get us started. The second huge encouragement was going down to Hobie's in Dana Point, and the manager down there said, yeah, great, these are fine. Come back in a couple weeks. We were just like, oh, we're in. So literally, we did part-time work at Rainbow for another year or so and made skimboards in the evening in a garage up above Victoria Beach.
Okay. And then did it just take off? Or I would suspect that the industry – it wasn't as big as it is now.
Correct.
And I mean, because surfing wasn't as big as it is now.
Yeah.
And so what happened that made it just kind of blow up?
I don't think it ever really did blow up. Slow, steady growth over 40 years.
Okay.
More likely. And a couple little waves, a couple die-offs, a couple recessions in there, and one huge recession just now. But we're a stepchild of surfing. We're 25 years younger than they are. And only just recently have we sort of come out of their shadow a little bit.
Okay. And maybe this is a good time to take a break. We're going to come. This is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show, and my guest today is Tex Haynes of Victoria Skimboard. So we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Well, well, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And I am happy to have in studio Tex Haynes of Victoria Skimboards, or co-founder of Victoria Skimboards. And we've been talking a little bit about how he got his start and came down here. But now we're moving on to the topic at hand, and that is the Victoria Skimboard contest. What's the appropriate title for it?
You can call it whatever you want. You can call it just the Vic. Too many people claim the world championship title. We just kind of gave up on that.
Oh, I see. So every one you go to worldwide.
Quite a few, yeah, claim to be the.
Certainly, skimboarding has evolved from just being a kind of an activity or a fun hobby to a sport, and now that sport has gone worldwide. How did that happen, or were you around for that, or did you just tap into it?
No, you got to give credit to Surfer Magazine. They published a little short.
Can you get right a little
short
bit?
Short Break Jams article on us in 1976. Photographer, I think, was Warren Bolster. And I think the editor at the time was Mr. Pesman, Steve Pesman of the Surfer's Journal, and it just showed the whole world what we were doing at Vic Beach and launched it simultaneously in 7 countries at least. Wherever Surfer's Magazine went, they saw it.
Wow.
So that was huge.
So I guess were you guys doing crazy tricks at that point?
Yeah, flips off waves and big sprays and stuff.
And a lot of stuff that you really couldn't do with a surfboard.
Right.
Because
and
it's
no one had no one had really seen it before, so it was quite an eye-opener.
Okay, and then what happened? You just hold on like...
Hold on. Yeah, steady increase in sales every year, 10-15%, something like that. And I had no business education. I'm a biologist by education, so we learned a lot as we went along.
Oh, and so when did you decide you wanted to have a contest?
Credit my sister, Tay, who was a gymnast, and realized that was the primary way of giving back to your community.
Okay.
The contest. And so we started that, I think, the second year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow,
right
just
away.
Got right into it.
Right into it, yeah. She pulled out a clipboard and said, it's a scale of 1 to 10. And we just went, fine.
And so who were some of the first people to come down?
Good question. The Victoria Beach crew is kind of unique. It was the edge of Laguna. So if you had a party at Victoria Beach and the police showed up, you'd go to the other side of the fence, which was another territory.
South Laguna.
We were a pretty tight community.
Ungoverned territory.
So the chief lifeguard's family lived there. The West Guards, they were big influence. The Prieto family, they had 12 kids. They lived right there on the beach.
Nice.
The Buxtons, Lynn and his brother Mike, were my mentors. We watched them skim. Greg Taylor, you'll still see all over town. He was skimming way back then. And a bunch of us youngsters, Scott, I think, Ray Williams, myself, Peter Prieto, Sue Chisholm, and a few others. Just, you know, a couple beach chairs and a couple clipboards, and that was it.
So
we had fun.
No PA, no.
No, nothing, no.
No backing tracks.
No grassroots.
Okay. And how long is it? Has it been going on?
42 years this year.
Wow.
Jackie Robinson's number.
Oh, yes.
The meaning of the universe.
All wrapped into a ball.
The number of years we've done the Vic, yeah.
Okay. And how many people compete now?
About 150.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, and different classes?
Yeah,
and
11 different age groups from 8 and under to 40 and up, and a pro division for women and for men.
Wow, okay. So. And so it's coming up. When is that going to be?
August 18th, 19th. So get ready.
That's right around the corner.
Losing sleep already. We expect like a 5 to 10 foot swell on Friday. So it could be huge.
Monster.
It might be kind of wild to watch guys try to ride waves that big.
Well, I hope it won't bring out the NASCAR factor.
Well, the problem mostly is the sand. The sand's being eroded away so fast from Aliso right now, we're not really sure where we're going to have it at Aliso.
It's literally back up
into the rocks.
Spot. Yeah, yeah.
So if we have sand, we'll have it right there at the south end. We'll see.
And so what time does it start?
8:30, approximately 9 o'clock in the morning with the youngest kids.
Okay.
And fittingly, we end with the youngest kids. So Saturday is youngest to oldest, Sunday is the vice versa. We start with the oldest and finish with the youngest kids, who are really the treat of the whole show to watch them out there. Scared to death with big waves and their parents standing right next to them. But just jump on it and slide a little bit. But it works out.
All right. And so you've been doing it for over 40 years.
Yeah.
What do you get from it? What does it feel like to be involved or to be putting it on? I mean, because you kind of, you know, are providing this for the whole community.
I don't know. It's a fundamental way of promoting our company. I mean, obviously
that's how it started.
We want to create goodwill in the community. We want to have a fair field of competition. But mostly we want to give back. You know, it's how I was raised. My dad was a doctor, and he was just all about helping people. Huh. Nothing else really mattered, you know. And I think I grew up with that same instinct, which is not a good business instinct, but it works.
So your doctor was, your father was a doctor.
Yeah.
And you didn't become one.
Yes.
And then you were a construction person.
Yes.
And that was like, okay, well, you know, at least he won't starve to death. And then you became a surfboard guy.
Start counting the things that are lucky about this. My mom growing up in Hawaii. So she was relating to what I wanted to do all the time. My dad happened to see Duke at the 32 Olympics in L.A.
Oh.
He swam in his meet, came back out of the locker room with a surfboard under his arm, and the entire stadium sucked the air out of itself. People just going, whoa, I want to do that. So he got hooked on surfing as a teenager.
Oh, okay.
So between those two people, I think they were willing to let me throw away my education and make skimboards and construction, which turned out, you know, pretty well. I guess
it's turned out to be a good living for you. So how has it been running a company, doing something that you love? Is it fun all the time? Or is it accounting and taxes and payroll and rent?
Yeah, you ask good questions, Ernest. It's a mixed bag.
Do you leap out of bed with a song in your heart? Like,
well, no. The last 10 years have been pretty dark. I have to be honest. You really wonder, what the hell have I done this all for? If I lost my life savings at the end here.
Oh, right.
And no one wants to buy you because you're a negative company. So
it's not sexy at all.
Until June or July of this year, which was super slow, I really wasn't sure we were going to be here another year. It was
really?
That bad.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So, you know, you realize on the one hand that you're probably the luckiest person on the planet to be doing what you're doing.
Indeed.
And you really don't mind the loss of income under those circumstances.
You just put it in that little box and
keep going. If you survived, I figure you're good to go.
Well, and I suspect that there have been moments where that weren't always encouraging along the way.
Yeah.
And you kind of pressed on, what, for the love of it, you're half crazy.
It's necessity. You know, you've got a good machine working in front of you and you want to keep it going,
right,
rather than just quit it and walk away from it. There's no point doing that. You got all that momentum if you can just keep working with it and trying to
right
get it
and tweak it here or there and see if you can get the right mix.
Exactly. And it's surprisingly hard to contract your business. Unbelievably hard to do that. We've moved out of 5 units in Laguna over the last 10 years.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, knuckle down, like my mom used to say. You put it in low gear.
All right. Okay, we're going to take another break. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show, and I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. And, well, we do this every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. Let's see. Before we take a break, just taking a look at the weather out there. It looks pretty good. I know the water temperatures are good. We do have big surf still, or it's big.
It's dropping.
But it's going to come back again next week.
Yes.
There's nothing on Nixle, no sirens or anything like that to report. So we'll be right back after a couple songs. This is KX93.5.
Cool.
I'm in the phone booth. It's the one across the hall. If you don't answer, I'll just bring it off the wall. I know he's there, but I just try to call.
We've been hanging on the telephone. We've been hanging on the telephone.
Okay, we're back. This is KX93.5, member-supported FM radio for Laguna Beach, and you're listening to the Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10, and I am having a great time here with Tex Haynes, and he is the co-founder of Victoria Skimboards, and they are having their annual skimboard competition next weekend down at Aliso Beach, right?
Correcto mundo.
Okay. And along the way, you know, we've talked about, you know, the how you got your start in the business and kind of what it was like running a business. And but along the way, when you're doing a contest, you have partners and other organizations that participate. So how about you tell me a little bit about some of yours?
Yeah, over the years, quite a few different partners, but we are now working with Elevate, which is a new company, clothing company, to support children's services here in Orange County. So each day we'll have 25 kids come down to the contest who have, you know, lost their homes and are out basically outside of their family now and need some support and some human interaction. Some of them have not even seen the beach yet.
Oh, wow.
Even though they live here in Orange County.
Hmm.
So we'll have them down with us and kind of make people a little more aware of how tough it is out there if your family is dysfunctional.
Right. And how did you make that connection?
Paul Porter came to us a few years back and said he wanted to bump up the sport. His kid loved it. That was the big connection, Ethan Porter himself. And so we
on the mic.
We jumped in there. Yeah, we're happy to be a partner with him. And
so it was just kind of a natural fit, and you're like, gosh, we should have been doing this all along.
Yeah, exactly. He's come from another business background, and he wanted to start something new and really put a lot of effort back into the community. And that's what it does. It lifts people's spirits. It lifts our minds. And it's a great program.
All right. So back to the contest. I think you said you were expecting about 150 contestants.
Correct. Yeah.
And where are they coming in from? Are they all locals here?
That's a great question because parking's an issue down there. So come early.
That's not really where I was going with that, but okay.
It led right to a community service announcement there. They're coming from all over Europe, South America, Japan, Northern California, our partners up there in Santa Cruz. And we expect a good turnout. There's about 500 people on the Sunday afternoon average. We also have the Lost Pier is opening with the ranch owning that, and they're partners with us in the contest too. So that's a really cool restaurant down there that'll be open all day, not just a few hours on weekends, but all day. So grab your girl. Go down there and have a nice meal. The food is outrageously good.
So this is the Lost Pier is now the
snack bar there at the back.
Right. Because
yeah.
I know that there was some up and down about, you know, when the guy put the snack bar in and then what he could do.
Yeah.
And so they got that all sorted out and the ranch took his.
From what I know, the Orange County forgot an employee bathroom. And they had to remodel it right after they built it to put an employee bathroom in. And then the tenant who they'd agreed to work with was disappointed that he couldn't dine out on the sand.
Right.
So he sued the county. And I think that's been going on for the last 3 to 5 years. And
yeah,
finally now it's resolved and we have a new person in there.
Okay. All right. And who are some of the top skimboarders these days and who, you know, should we be looking out for? What's their number? Is it 42?
I have nothing but respect. Yes, 42 would be a great number. Blair is one of my favorite writers. Blair Conklin. I'm going to get names wrong now.
I know Blair.
Sammy Stinnett, many times champion. There's so many good writers. Austin Keen is one of the top writers these days. He's right there in the finals every time. And Johnny Weber's our newest claim to fame. He's also an unbelievably good rider out of Delaware. And quite a few of these guys are actually from the East Coast, which amazes us out here. But, yeah, they're so fun to watch.
And so will we get to see you out there?
Yes.
Nice.
Fully clothed, but no. No, I will definitely jump in the water a couple of times, but I can't compete in my own contest.
You're like, I won again.
Yes, yeah. I learned a long time ago that wasn't going to work.
All right. So just before we go, is there any contact information, or is there a website or anything?
www.vicskim.com is our main website. We'll have all the times. We'll have a schedule up. It's youngest to oldest on Saturday. So if you're a young kid, get down there early Saturday. And likewise, Sunday morning, the old guys will start first, the 40 and up. And the pros get to go whenever they want, and that's usually in the morning. So if you want to catch the best skimming, come down early on Saturday and Sunday morning, and you'll get the good conditions and the pros going at it.
Okay. And if somebody wants to get a skim board just in time for the contest, where do they go?
We have a shop out in the canyon right by Big Bend, big yellow sign next to Langley Frozen Foods. That's 2955. We also have Hobie's, LS&S. Rip Curl, I think there's quite a few different shops in town. Costa Azul also.
All right, so there's still time.
There's time.
You can get that board and get on down and register for the contest and see how it goes.
Appreciate that.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Tex, for coming on, and good luck with the contest and good luck going forward.
Thank you. Thank you for all the good questions. It's been a real good time talking with you. Appreciate it.
Awesome. All right. This is KX93.5. You have been listening to the Importance of Being show. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman, and coming up next is Steve Reed with the Coast Highway Shuffle. And have a great Sunday, everyone. And, you know, there you go. Be
Audio.
Laguna.
Awesome.
Bye.
I got sleep, but Sunday nights they don't come cheap.